This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Joan Tammany, Executive Director, ComCare of Sedgwick County. Welcome to Issues 2024, Joan.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Hey, by way of background, if I may, is ComCare part of Sedgwick County government?
Yes, we are a department of Sedgwick County government. We're the local community mental health center.
Mental health center. Yeah, and their mission is, do you have a mission statement, something like that?
Yeah. Our mission is to improve the quality of life for those with substance use and mental health disorders.
Okay. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and I'd like to focus on that today. Can you describe for us how big a health concern is suicide now?
Well, you know, we consider it a public health issue because it is significant. I mean, one death by suicide is too many. And, you know, to have 94 in the state, in the area of South Central Sedgwick County in 2023 is just way too many. And it's alarming that, you know, youth are taking their own lives as well.
Can you share some other figures? How many people take their own lives in the USA in a year? You have that kind of information for us?
You know, I don't have that number, okay. But it's pretty significant. I think it's like one in every 11 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I didn't see really a number, except that I think I saw that. One every 11 minutes, somebody in this country is taking their own life then, right?
Exactly, and that's alarming. It should be alarming for all of us. The reality is that suicide is the second leading cause of death for young adults and teens, and it's the 10th leading cause of death for people over the age of 35. And we're seeing an increase, at least locally, of deaths in older individuals with chronic medical issues.
Sedgwick County, how many did you say last year or in 2023?
I think it was 94.
You don't have any for Kansas then, for the entire state?
I don't have the Kansas stats. Well, you know, they run several years behind.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now, how are these numbers trending overall? Are they trending up, down, or about the same every year?
Well, you know, it varies locally, but this year for 2023, it trended down, which is good. It was in the 100, around 106, 108 in 2022 and down to 90-something in 2023. So that's good news, but, you know, you just don't know from year to year what that number is going to be. Our hope is that with continued educational efforts like this is that we continue to see a downward trend.
You know, let's talk about demographically what we're looking at. You mentioned a moment ago young people. How about it for young people? When you talk about young people, what age are we looking at there as far?
Between the ages of 14 and 30.
14 and 30, and you said it's the number two cause of death?
I don't have that number right in front of me. I'm sorry, Steve, but as we're chatting, I'll try to see if I can locate that.
Well, it's a big problem for our younger folks. So you're seeing a trend there?
We didn't see an upward trend locally. We saw a decrease locally for the younger individuals in 2023, which I'm grateful for. But, you know, the reality is there was an increase in fentanyl deaths, you know, in teens. So it's hard to know if that was accidental or intentional as well. But Are we shifting?
That fentanyl's a nasty business. Oh my goodness, we could do another program almost on that. That's just really, really tough. But again, you'd say an overdose death, and sometimes you can't tell on a younger person then, huh?
Yeah, and unless there's indication, that would be classified as an overdose versus a suicide, but the number of known suicides for younger folks has decreased.
Demographically, then, who's most likely to commit suicide?
Adult males, because they use lethal means. They use, a handgun.
So that's the most effective then. Adult males, race, is it white, black, Hispanic, anybody more prone to this?
I think locally it's white, Caucasian males.
We talked about that before, and at one time, I think a couple of years ago, when the economy was real bad, it was older males that we were talking about. Is it still older guys that are doing this?
We're still seeing that. We're seeing seniors with chronic health conditions who, don't feel they have much to live for, who are taking their own lives. That number did go up this year. I wish I had the demographics right in front of me, but I don't. But that's also alarming because these folks have usually been seen by a primary care provider within the last 30 days.
How about gender? Male, female? You say it male, but
yeah, male. It's many, many more males than females. But again, it's because the lethal mean.
But you said not necessarily any race that's worse than or more than others.
No, not locally.
Okay. And we talk about suicide causes for just a little bit. And we hear the terms depression, anxiety. And a lot of people may not know exactly what that is. Clinically, how do you define depression then?
Yeah, well, there's different degrees of depression. But, somebody who is thinking about suicide feels hopeless, feels like they're a burden to others, feels like their life is not worth living. Clinically, depression can manifest itself in many ways. For example, somebody starts having an unregular sleep cycle. So they used to get up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Now they're sleeping till noon or all day. It's somebody who used to enjoy activities who suddenly stops engaging activities or social events. It's somebody who is starting to miss work because they don't have the incentive or motivation to get up and go to work. It's somebody who, just truly doesn't feel like they have a future or in that particular moment doesn't have a future. When it comes specifically to suicide. So depression can have many faces. And then you have people who are really depressed who just plow on, and it's hard to know because a lot of it is internalized and not in their behavior.
Well, I mentioned anxiety. Is that appropriate to talk about anxiety at the same time? What is anxiety?
Yeah, I think, we see a lot of assessment of persons who take their life by suicide, we see a lot of folks with anxiety as a diagnostic area. But, you think about it, if somebody is extremely, who worries a lot, who ruminates or thinks a lot about the same issue all the time, particularly, for example, I'm never going to raise my grades, if you think of a school-age, youth. I'm never going to raise my grades. My parents are going to hate me. They're going to be upset. If that kind of a thought cycle goes on and on and on and on, it creates a lot of physical angst for that individual. And we do see anxiety as a significant factor in overall functioning and thoughts of suicide. So we have to get people through that moment of angst.
I tell you, as I get older, more and more of my friends, when we get together, we talk about our health problems as we get older. I've got a replacement hip, for instance. My wife has two knees, and we've got all these things. The wheels begin to come off at some point.
Yep, they do.
And as I guess there are probably a lot of people who say, well, I can't really do this, and I'm going to leave a financial burden from, you know, I can't pay for this. Does finance have anything to do with this from time to time?
Yeah, we see a lot of issues related to finances, and then relationship issues and chronic medical conditions are kind of the top three social factors that contribute to the thought of suicide. And you're right, as people age, you know, they don't want to be dependent. They don't want to be bedridden. They don't want to stay in their house all day. I mean, there's not a lot of a social interaction when you're living a life of isolation, and isolation is a critical factor for people who think about suicide.
Would you, let's talk for back about, jumping back and forth. Let's talk about the kids for just a little bit. You know, this social media thing. There have been a lot of studies, and its impact on young people can be quite negative. What about bullying? How is that a big problem for youngsters now?
Yeah, I think you bring up an important factor. You know, social media can be very, very enriching. You know, you feel connected. You know what's going on with your peers. You share the excitement of what's going on in your own life. But it can also be incredibly damaging when bullying is occurring online. And, you know, we all know people can be pretty anonymous on social media and can say things they wouldn't say if they were interacting with that person in a live setting. So, bullying is a big factor. You know, it's hard to feel good about yourself when somebody's putting you down or making threats towards you all the time.
From time to time on social media, people urge my boss to fire me, but I try. I try to ignore that. Okay. You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Joan Tammany, Executive Director, ComCare of Sedgwick County. You talked about sleeping there, and you know, I've noticed that from the time when I'm really in a bad mood, just sleeping seems to be the only place that I can go and really have a little quiet time. But if somebody else is doing it, somebody in my family's doing it, I ought to ask them what's up, right?
Yeah, you know, sleep hygiene is such an important factor for overall well-being. And we find, particularly with folks that have a mental health issue, is their sleep patterns change. You know, some people sleep better, people sleep worse. But, you know, if somebody's sleeping an excessive amount of time, or their sleep cycle has really changed from what's normal for them, it's worth an exploration, because you never know. Like you say, are they sleeping because it's easier than dealing with the feelings they experience while awake? Are they sleeping because they're not feeling well physically and need to get in and see a physician to help navigate that new life situation? You know, are they sleeping because you know, they're trying to avoid a stressful situation in their life? Sleep patterns are really an important indicator, or at least something to explore with somebody if you know their regular sleep pattern and it changes.
What are the most common means for someone to commit suicide?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What are the most common means? Locally and nationally, handguns are the most common cause of death by suicide. But you'll also see people who have died as a result of taking an abundance of their medication, or at least a lethal dose of medication. Could be prescribed medication. It could be somebody else's medication. It could be over-the-counter medications. You'll also see folks who die as a result of a hanging. And we do see that locally. So there's various means in which somebody could take their own life, but most common is by a handgun.
Before we continue, Joan, there is a national suicide hotline. Am I correct?
Yep. You could dial the 3 digits, 988, and be connected with a Lifeline Center who will help you walk through that imminent crisis.
And do you have a local number with ComCare?
Yeah, we promote 988 because our center will pick up those calls for the folks locally.
Okay.
But if individuals want to call our direct line, you can always dial 660-7500. That's a little harder to remember than 988. It's the same team of folks picking up those calls.
Is this just? Go ahead.
And if locally we can't pick that up, there are backup centers here in Kansas that would take that call.
Good. Is this just for people considering suicide, or can people call in for information and help for someone else?
Absolutely. They can call it for any, if they have a loved one or a friend or even a neighbor who might be struggling with a psychiatric crisis. It doesn't have to be a suicide risk. It could be any individually defined crisis. So, yes, you can call in for information. You can call in to see if we have a mobile crisis team that can go out and screen somebody. You could call in to see what resources we have available locally for services. It's a number you can reach out to and get information, as well as support and intervention.
You know, you've already been over this a little bit, but I don't think that it would be harmful to go ahead and reiterate the warning signs for individuals who may be headed in that direction. Give us the major warning signs that someone may be thinking about this.
Yeah, I think you need to look at three areas of somebody's behavior and such. You need to be listening to what somebody's talking about. You know, are they talking about being a burden? Are they talking about wanting relief from an ongoing issue? Are they not wanting to wake up in the morning? Are they talking about wanting to die? Are they talking about excessive shame or guilt? Those are some of the things they might talk about. But internally, you know, if you have a relationship with that individual and they're talking about feeling empty or hopeless or feeling trapped or not having a reason to live, or, you know, if they're in extreme emotional distress, those are some feelings to be thinking about for warning signs. But, you know, behavior is kind of individualized. You know, we all think about the individual who is researching means to die, who is starting to withdraw from friends, who might be giving away their items. You know, they might have a recent or increase of substance use. You know, they might be having eating and sleep behavior changes. But, you know, you also have to think about, when you're thinking about youth, is the child who is the perfectionist or who has some obsessive compulsive patterns of behavior. You know, those are the folks to look out as well. It's not as evident, but they feel extreme pressure to continue to perform. So it's not just people who are struggling outwardly, it's people who are struggling internally.
You just mentioned behavior. It's somebody is a certain way, and you go plugging along, and all of a sudden, they're not quite that way anymore. Maybe they're more withdrawn, more or quieter.
They come home and they just go to their room, or they quit eating meals with the family, or don't want to do things they did with their spouse before, or they're retreating from getting together with their friends. Those are all potential warning signs.
Now, what should we do if we see these in our friends and loved ones? Obviously, if we confront them about it, some people say, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." But how can we?
And they may.
How can we help?
They may. But you know, that's that people also tend to talk about it. If you ask people directly, you know, are you struggling right now? And if they say yes, are you thinking about harming yourself or are you thinking about suicide? There's nothing that says asking those questions directly would contribute to that person taking their lives. In fact, it's a chance to save a life. So I think, you know, making sure to ask how somebody's doing, checking in on people that you notice things have changed. You know, the more you check in with them, the more likely you are to catch them in that moment of weakness when they are thinking about suicide, you know, because suicide isn't a constant thought. It's the real risk can be moments, you know, in somebody's life, and, yeah, and a warm, friendly interaction can change that because people want to feel connected. That's the bottom line. People, when they want to die, they're not feeling connected to others, instead feeling like they're a burden.
What resources are available through ComCare?
Well, ComCare is one service provider in town. We, you know, our, you know, when we're talking about suicide prevention, our biggest asset right now is we have the crisis center. So we have the crisis line, the hotline, which we talked about, 988. But we also have supports. If you want to come to the crisis center, we can screen that individual in person. We can keep them with us for 23 to 72 hours to get them through that crisis and help them establish ongoing treatment services. You know, we have therapy, we have case management and wraparound supports. We have people engage in employment supports for wanting to find meaningful work. We just have a whole array of services, and ComCare, like I mentioned, is one service option, but there's many wonderful providers here in town. We also provide substance use services, mm-hmm. And in our crisis center, we partner with SAC, who delivers social detox and sobering services. So mm-hmm. if somebody's, you know, not able to limit the amount they're using, they can come and be safe with us for that as well. We want to get you through the moment.
You give us very good prevention information. What happens? Let's talk about after the fact. Persons, loved ones who they've committed suicide. Do you have any help for them? Is there help for people who've lost someone to suicide?
Yeah, there are some suicide support groups here in town, and we can help connect you to those. Annually, I think it's in November of this year, there's a survivors of suicide event. So it's for loved ones as well as individuals who have made it through a suicidal event. So there's national support groups as well. But yeah, there's, you know, the most important thing is getting that support from others who have lived through what you've lived through.
Can a person get financial help in paying for treatment?
Well, ComCare reserves people regardless of ability to pay. So we'll look at somebody's income status, and if they don't have income, we're going to deliver the services at no cost. So there's lots of opportunities there. We also help people who may be eligible for benefits like Medicaid access those benefits. For at least for us, we're a safety net clinic, meaning we will serve anybody regardless of their ability to pay.
And beyond that initial contact, someone might get into some therapy that could last for quite a while, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they can get into therapy. You know, a lot of the folks that we serve also get involved with what we call case management, and that's the staff that help that person navigate the world with a mental health issue. It may be short term. We have folks we've served for years and years and years because they need that level of support to stay out of the hospital. And that's what our goal is, to improve the quality of life in the community rather than an institutional setting.
As you're well aware, we've got a new state hospital in Sedgwick County that's coming online at some point. Will it be equipped to handle suicide prevention and treatment?
Well, you know, it's going to be a state psychiatric hospital, meaning that these are folks who are at imminent risk of harm to self or harm to others. So it's the highest level of care for somebody that might need to be in a secure setting and monitored and supported 24 hours a day for 2 to 3 weeks. So it will be a resource definitely for our region, you know, but then we also have local hospitals who are a resource when somebody needs a level of care for a short period of time. The crisis center is another support service for people who might need a day or two or 3 days to help them navigate that psychiatric crisis. So there's lots of different levels of support. The state hospital is one of those, and we should see that open sometime, I believe, in 2026.
Dan, we talk about, just generally speaking, that hospital, is that going to be a big help for what you're doing at ComCare?
Well, right now, I mean, it's going to be. It's going to be an added resource. Right now, when somebody locally is at risk of harming themselves or harming another and needs that longer-term stay, we have to take them all the way to Osawatomie State Hospital. Ugh. That's a long way from home. People do better when they have their local supports. So, yes, it will be a nice addition to our community in that people will get help locally.
Joan, I want to thank you for your time this morning. We're just about out of time. And a reminder that this is September is Suicide Prevention Month. And thanks, Joan, for being with us this morning. Our guest, Joan Taveny, Executive Director, ComCare of Sedgwick County. That number is 988. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh.